We'll move on to Giovanni. Let me.
Yeah.
So Giovanni will give us some updates about CNSB, what he's been doing over the last year or so, what we've been doing, and then he'll introduce a his visiting student, Giorgio, who will give us an update on the project. So Giovanni, please take over.
I'm stealing the screen now.
Please.
Is this the right? Can you see my slides?
Not yet.
Oh.
There
Okay.
we go.
What can you see?
Two pictures and your group.
Oh, great. So these are the slides. Lucas, thanks a million. That was great. Also the format. I like this interactive format for online presentations. I'll have to switch back to the old format. But it's very brief. So before moving on with the next invited speaker, who's Giorgio Piazza, I'll just give you this brief update on the work we have been doing. But also at the end, I'll give a brief mention on the travel grant sponsored by mBrainTrain. Let me just put there a slide, one of the embarrassing slides with lots of faces that nobody looks at. But it's a necessary to thank all the people that helped in the last 3 years in all the work we did with the workshop and also with the resources. So Lucas has shown this picture in different flavors on the board, on the slides. But the idea is, yes, we have in the different type of experiments that we deal with, that the CNSB initiative and workshop care about, we talk about, you know, some neural recordings and some sounds that are continuous or some videos or everything that Lucas has mentioned. And ultimately we have an X and a Y in machine learning sense. So an X where we have, if you want, some stimulus features, and the Y where we have the neural signal. And we want to relate them somehow. So when we have, and again, the way that Lucas described, when we have multiple features. Imagine, and this is something that happened to me anyway. We had recorded a data set thinking about phonology, and then that same data set has been reanalyzed in I don't know how many different ways. So many different papers from different labs can come out from the same data. And so this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to reuse data from you know, rather than having to record 1,000 times the same kind of experiment. And then the type of tasks that we're talking about, like listening to speech and music, is just more pleasant. So it gives you better access to particular cohorts that wouldn't be as willing to take long experiments where they have to look at you know, flashing lights or individual syllables. So just more pleasant. Now, the challenges are that we want to tackle. One challenge is that you know, the correct use and interpretation of the methodologies we are talking about, right? It's very important that if we start sharing resources, we start sharing code or toolboxes, that we also, you know, make sure that that there is no misuse of these tools. And so that's why we try to publish papers and also organize this workshop where we try to provide these resources for guiding towards the interpretation and how not to use these methods. And then the one thing that is very practical, even within the same lab, what happens is that we just end up using different versions of the same code for doing the same thing, which is problematic. It causes, it increases the risk for errors, and also makes everything slower. So code reusability. So with here CNSB at the center of this slide, what I'm trying to say is what CNSB is about. So one element is trying to share some standardized analysis code for running different types of analysis. And of course, we started from the kind of analysis we were doing already. And by we, I mean Aaron and I and Nick and so on, all the organizers. To share standardized code, we need to agree on some standardized format for the data. And that's also another activity we have been working on. and then trying to take some existing data sets and putting them in the same format so that basically that same standardized code can be run instantly on all of these different data sets without wasting time. Then, of course, we have the workshops where we try to share new research and new tutorials, question and answers, and so on. And finally, we see this as an opportunity for, you know, creating a community, for networking, for connecting people that are more on the methodological side and instead other scientists that are more, you know, they have maybe less confidence on the methods and they want to connect with someone that has that expertise on doing more applied research. And for students, of course. And this is the kind of resources I use also in my own lab. So every student, PhD student or master student that joins, I just tell them, okay, open the CNSP website and download such and such data sets, download these scripts and try to learn from these. We have these new sections that we didn't have last year on lectures and tutorials from the various editions of the workshop. So you find the 2023 here as well. It is not just a repetition every year, right? So for example, last year we covered CCA, we won't cover it this year. So we don't need to repeat things that we have seen already, so that we leave space for new things. So check out those things. So what's new? So the first thing that is new this year is the CND format, so the Continuous Event Neural Data format. It's a data structure that we proposed for storing neural data that is specific to continuous sensory tasks like listening to speech. So it was, as I said, it was a necessity because if we want to share standardized code, we had to find a way to agree on some standardized data format. And the idea is that if you save your data in this way, then you can run these scripts that we're sharing directly. And then it also enables the design of graphical user interfaces and that sort of stuff. So CND, this data format, is somewhat after the raw data. So it's not your raw data. It's minimally pre-processed, in a way that your stimulus features and your EEG are aligned and they are with the same sampling rate. And so you can run TRFs and CCA or intersubject correlation more rapidly. And so you have access in this case to CNSP scripts, but also we connected this format with the work from Christian Broadbeck and Jonathan Simon and Nima's lab on these toolboxes that they designed. So you can load CND data files from their toolboxes now, and you can easily transition between Bits and CND. They are connected, and we included all the functions for doing so. But in reality, this is not something complicated. It's just basically guidance in terms of what is the folder structure you should use, where should you put the code, where should you put the tutorials, the code, for example. Where should you put the data sets? How should you call the file names? If you follow these instructions, then basically it's just much easier to run the code we share. And we share this on our GitHub. So if you just go on our GitHub, and the links are all on the website. I'll show them in a second. You have this folder structure with the example scripts. We have more tutorials to add here. The libraries are not ours. Some of these are ours, but others, they're just dependencies that we use. And then the datasets are empty. You just need to go to the website, download the dataset, and put it into this folder structure, and then you can run the scripts. We are setting up a new documentation page. It's a work in progress, but you can already find some instructions on, again, how to save your data in this format and so on. So on the website, you have this, on the resource page, you have all of these links, the GitHub, the documentation, and these other things I'll show you in a second. The data browser. So one thing that we built in the last year is a graphical user interface. So just an interface like this, which is built in MATLAB in this case. Wait for the next slide because that's much cooler. So the idea, apart from the ugly looking interface, which is MATLAB style, this gives you an idea of the parameters that you need to decide when you fit these models, and it gives you an easy access to do so. So basically, what you can do is, and I'll let's see if I can take it up here. Yeah, let's put it on top. So this is just the GUI in my computer, and you can open here, and you have access to whatever data sets you have on your computer, and they're all in the same format, so you can switch and it loads, and then it's going to give you the stimulus feature for that particular data set. And you can say, oh, I want to fit a model on this number of participants, on this amount of data per participant, forward, backward models. And just for sake of time, I don't have time to run it now, but basically you can run the usual TRFs, get prediction correlations, get TRF weights, but you can also compare different data sets. You can take your speech data set, your music data set, you can plot them on top of each other. It's still work to do, but it's a starting point to make things a bit faster, a bit easier when we want to look at data that we have already, available without having to talk with the person that actually share that data every time. Now this is a proof of concept. It's a work in progress. It is a web-based data browser. So while the other one is a standalone application built in MATLAB, you don't need to have MATLAB. You just install it. But you still need to install it. This thing instead is in your browser. So you just go on your browser, you type this link, which I'll share on the chat in a second, and you can fit forward TRFs, backward TRFs, and so on. So encoding, decoding models. Why do I think this is useful? And again, lots of this stuff is done selfishly because we use it. So it happened to me, for example, to talk with scientists that wanted to run a new experiment, and they were asking me, can I run this speech listening experiment or this music listening experiment with 5 minutes of data, because my particular population can't deal with experiments that are longer than 5 minutes? And usually my answer is, I don't know. I need to open my MATLAB and reanalyze some of my code. So with this interface, basically you can go to load some existing data and select how much data you want to use and see basically for yourself if that is a suitable amount of data for your experiment, and much more. So again, for sake of time, I'll cut it short. We describe lots of these new components in a paper that we just submitted to archive. So the CNND data structure, the analysis pipeline, resources. We also include the simulation toolkit, where you can simulate EEG data in different ways. And I encourage using that, because simulating data can be really, really useful, especially when your hypotheses are not that clear. It's not clear what you would get from a TRF analysis. So maybe before actually running an experiment, it can be quick and useful to use these functions. Okay. So just to conclude, the call for project proposal. So M-Brain Train, which is one of the most interesting producers of portable EEG systems, they have been supporting us with the scholarship last year and also this year. It's 1,500 euro. So what we encourage you to do is to propose a project and to write this proposal in 500 words. You can decide to say, okay, I want to visit Giovanni's lab in Dublin, or I want to visit Aaron's lab in Rochester or Segovia or Nottingham Trent or École Normale Supérieure. You can visit any of these institutions in the list that are related to the organizers, or you can propose some other visit to someone else, as long as it makes sense with CNSP. So as long as it has something to do with, you know, the resources that we share or something related to that, or anyway, something that has an open science mindset. So whatever data you deal with, we would encourage you to share it. The call for proposal is on the website. You can find it here on the workshops page. Okay, that's all from me. Right on time. I'm a bit late, sorry.